It's the Lost Years Pod. Lost Years Pod. Running through this show called Boy Meets World is what we're doing. Sid and Tay are your friends who will always stand by you. It's the Lost Years Pod.
Hello, and welcome to the Lost Years, a retrospective fan cast. I'm Tay.
I'm Sid.
And this is season 5, episode 21.
The sun is still out when we're recording.
Isn't that crazy?
I have a love-hate relationship with daylight savings. I hate it for the first few days, and then when it starts getting light outside again, I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, it's just so nice to like feel like
good.
Yeah.
It's so honestly, nice to feel happy.
To feel the weather changing in a way that feels positive. Although the weather in Chicago has been so crazy. Yeah. It's like so deeply inconsistent. But it's nice that it's like sunny at night now, because it was deeply inconsistent and also dark.
You got to pick one lane.
Yeah, at least it's sunny while it doesn't make sense. So that's fun for me. What are you nostalgic for this week?
I'm getting my Nintendo Switch back in 2017.
Getting it back?
No, like getting it back in 2017.
Oh, I see.
Like, where'd it go?
What? Did you lose it? I'm confused.
No. But buying my Switch, and I was thinking about why. It's about that time of year, or just every year, that everybody is wanting the Nintendo Switch 2. I'm excited for it, but it's been a while since I've gotten a new gaming device. And I was just thinking back, like, that was the first adult purchase, quote unquote, that I made, where I had a job right like out of college. It was my first year out, and then I had enough money to buy it, and I had never bought my own gaming console before. I'd either have it through family or gift from family or things like that. And so to have my own thing and it be a couple $100 and just being like, I'm gonna get this, I'm excited to have it, I'm gonna play all the games and I'll use it. I've used it so consistently over the last 7 years that it's been out, and which is crazy. I cannot believe that it's been out. I don't know. I'm really looking forward to the next console, but I was thinking about the first even week of getting that and then playing it and just being very excited to own that.
And
it's really short and sweet this week, but
no, that's cute. I obviously didn't get a Switch until pandemic time, and then I got a light, and then when I started gaming on my like computer and streaming and stuff, I was like, well, I can't use my light to do that. It doesn't have a capture card. There's no way to do it. So I was like trying to figure it out, and my best friend got the OLED Switch. So she gave me her old one, and so I got to have like a whole new Switch for free. And does it have good battery life? Absolutely not, but it's adorable and it was free, so it works out wonderfully for me. Love a console. I'm curious what the next gen is going to be. Is it going to be, you think it's going to be Switch 2?
I mean,
because they went from Wii to Wii U to Switch to OLED Switch.
Yeah, so the OLEDs are just fancy, but I feel like, I don't know what they're going to do. I feel like it's just been rumored for years and years now that they're doing a Switch 2. Right. I don't know what that's going to look like.
How long did the Wii last before they switched to Switch?
So, well, the Wii's came out in 07 or 08, around there.
So, like, almost 10 years.
Or 10 years. And Wii U got thrown in there around 2013.
Yeah.
And if people come at me about these years, I'm not looking it up. But it was a few years, and then the Switch came out. And it's it kind of mimics the Wii U, but in a way better way.
But I was big on the Wii because my dad had a Wii. And so anytime we were down there, we were hard playing the Wii. Yeah. Mostly Sports Resort and Sports. Mostly Sports Resort, honestly.
Sports Resort. So good.
Oh my God. We went crazy for Wii Sports Resort. It was so fun.
Yeah. And then I was thinking back too of just handheld gaming in general and how Nintendo has been very integral in that before other companies even. And it was cool to, like, the Wii U kind of started this, but just to actually have something that can be a full console when I set it up on TV.
Oh, yeah, because the Wii U was the tablet vibe. Yes. I forgot about the tablet aspect of the Wii U.
Yeah, and so it's just very cool that I can set it up. It can fully function a regular gaming console, but I can carry it around if I so choose. And yes. It's helped me on so many flights. It's helped me in countless times at home when I don't want to be doing anything with my family. Yeah. And it's just, it's been great. I have loved it so much. And I really am excited for the next one. But specifically that first week, man, like opening it up for the first time. It's always really fun to get any type of new gaming device in general or technology.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so cool.
Love that.
I miss that. Yeah, what are you nostalgic for?
Dairy Queen opening day in my hometown.
All right.
We had a seasonal Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it opened in early March and closed in, I want to say, November.
Okay.
And I was struggling to figure out something to come up with today. And I had some stuff on like a list that's like backup in case I can't think of literally anything. And I was like, I'm pretty sure Dairy Queen opening day is like, I knew it was in March, but I didn't know exactly when. And obviously the weather's been so weird that like they could have changed it. Like I lived down the street from this Dairy Queen growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dairy Queen opening day was always a really big deal. And so I was like trying to figure out, I was like, do they have a Facebook? Do they have anything that I can look up when this day is? I found their Facebook page. They had an event for it. It's actually tomorrow.
Oh,
so I was like, that's perfect. Yeah, let's do that one. Dairy Queen opening day was a big deal in my hometown, obviously, for many reasons. Mm-hmm. It's like the first sign that like spring is here. And sometimes we'd get really lucky on like a day like today where it's really nice outside. You could go to Dairy Queen opening day. And I'm pretty sure it was any cone, like just like any normal ice cream cone was free on opening day.
Oh.
So lines like up and down the block, even in the winter, like it's still winter, right? But like even when it was really cold during this day, like opening day, people would still be lining up to get that free ice cream cone. And it was just like a nice thing to have, to look forward to feel like, okay, spring is actually approaching. Like I can go to Dairy Queen today and stand outside and get a free ice cream cone because it's just like a little hut.
Yeah.
It's like a little ice cream hut. And it's been there, I think the post said like 52 years or something like that. Oh, so it's been a long time and they're still kicking. And I just love that it exists. And I loved a good opening day. I remember getting like old enough that I could go by myself or like with friends.
Yeah.
And just like walk up the street and just so delightful. So delightful. So wonderful. Yeah. Opening day. Dairy Queen opening day.
Is it specifically like a franchise Dairy Queen?
I have to assume.
Okay.
Because I don't know many other versions of Dairy Queen that are just the ice cream, like just the little hut.
Yeah.
And it's been there my whole life. It's 52 years old. So I have to assume it's like a franchise version of Dairy Queen that is just open for a year. I don't even remember like who owns it. I imagine they still live in my hometown, but
that's cool.
Yeah. It's always just so fun and cute. And you would go, you could like go with your family or whatever, and then you'd see a bunch of friends from school. And then they have this big parking lot, which is hilarious. They have this ginormous parking lot for this little tiny Dairy Queen. And it backs up to like a sort of like a foresty area. And they have these big white wooden logs that they would use to block the parking lot during the year so that nobody would go like sit and park there, which is weird, but whatever. And so during the year, like when they're open, they would back those logs up to the grass so you could just go sit on them.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so cute. I don't know. It's just like warm and fuzzy and it reminds me of my hometown and which I miss and has changed a lot since I grew up there. But Dairy Queen's still there. With their big white logs.
We've got an ice cream place that is bikeable from my house back home. Not a Dairy Queen. Nothing franchise about
it. A Dairy King.
It's called Dairy Matt. But it is just a little hut in the same way. And they do soft serve ice cream. Like, that is their specialty. But you can get a ton of things there. And that's always, everyone would just bike up or walk up to Dairy Mat. And I even did that when I moved back home. I feel like I sent all of y'all in our group chats things like the fact that I was biking up or just getting ice cream, or it was like always going off at Be Real Time. It was just very timely. And then down the street, and I say down the street, it's like a mile and a half or so. There's this other one across the street that's called Dairy Deluxe. And so it was always the same vibe. It's just down the road. But it was a little rival between people of like, do you like Dairy Deluxe or do you like Dairy Matt more? And again, they're the exact same.
These names.
The Dairy Deluxe did have a way cooler sign because it is neon. Oh, and it's a big ice cream cone, and it's very cool.
I love neon.
It was way more inconvenient to get to. Sure, yeah. So, Dairy Matt.
Dairy Matt. All the way. Dairy Matt, Dairy Deluxe.
I love little huts like it.
Yeah, it's fun.
They also used to have tables outside, and they removed those for some reason. And I don't get why.
Yeah.
Because now people just have to sit on the curb, and people did that anyway. But at the same time, it's like, I would like to sit down. You know right. that people are going to come up here. And yeah. I think they did it because of COVID.
Oh, so people weren't gathering. Put them back.
Do it. They're all outside. No yeah. one's no one's doing anything. I want ice cream.
I know. And I ate my last pint of ice cream last night. I'm so sad. Happy Dairy Queen opening day to everybody from my hometown. I will not talk to
you. I was going to say, don't.
do you want to get into it?
Yeah. Season 5, episode 21 is titled Honesty Night, which I think is really funny coming after Starry Night. But
yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, huh, why did they choose that?
Why would they do this? Episode aired on April 24th, 1998. It was directed by Alan Meyerson and was written by Steve Hibbert. The synopsis is, after a reconciliation, Corey and Topanga pretend to be apart so Sean can think he's the only one who can bring them together.
That's a good one.
And it's accurate.
It's accurate.
I love when the synopsis makes sense.
Yeah, it's like when they're both accurate but also not giving too much away. I'm like, yes, you nailed it.
You did exactly what you're supposed
you
to do.
You did synopsis. Your job. I'm so proud of you, IMDb. Okay, so we get a previously on that recaps the entire Lauren arc, and then we go into the first scene. We are in the school hallway. Feeny walks out of a door marked counselor's office, and Topanga and Corey greet him in unison and sit down on the couch and stare at each other lovingly. Feeny's like, wait a minute, you're sitting together, you're talking in unison? And they sort of like back and forth say, everything's better, we worked out our differences, we got back together. Feeny says, oh, well, good, and I'm sure I'm not half as thrilled as Sean was when you told him the good news. Corey says, oh, no, and Feeny continues, I mean, he was even more brokenhearted than you two. Topanga asks, you did tell Sean, didn't you? Corey stands, well, we just got back together last night. I've had a lot of stuff on my mind. Like, what?
Just tell your best friend.
Topanga goes, you should have told Sean before you told me, Corey. And he says, well, it's okay, we'll tell him now, it's not like anybody else knows, right? A gaggle of girls walk by just then and go, congratulations you guys, in unison. And Corey says, oh my god, Sean is gonna kill me if he finds out he was not the first person to know. She replies, he tried every way he knew how to get us back together. He knew how to get us back together. That's a crazy sentence. How did she do that? He says, okay, listen, there is only one thing to do. And he goes, ho ho, is that the stupid idea train coming around the bend? Corey continues, we have to pretend to still be apart for his sake. Feeny finishes, woo, woo, all aboard. And Corey says, it's so simple. We'll set it up so he can reunite us. It's a great plan. I can't talk today. Topanga rebuts, it's not a great plan. It's an anti-great plan. Feeny says, if I may, 5 words. Topanga is correct. Corey goes, that's only 3. And Feeny finishes, you moron. Corey turns back to Topanga. You gotta help me. Help me convince Sean. It's up to him to get us back together. She asks, why can't we just tell him the truth? Feeny then shushes them as he sees Sean coming. Sean walks by looking sadly, and Corey says, because look at him. He bleeds for us. You and I can make him the happiest guy in the universe. She says, oh, this can't possibly come out well. We see another shot of Sean just like looking at them, and Corey gives Topanga a look, and she goes, I can't believe you said that to me, you stunty little whiny Brillo head. Corey whispers, wow, and then yells back, oh yeah? Well, you're a short little nasal voice, blimpo-lipped so-and-so. And then quietly to her, I need more time. Sean says to Feeny, when will this madness end? And Feeny replies, very soon, I hope. Sean continues, it's all so crazy. I feel like I'm just clinging to the wreckage. He opens his locker and we see hash marks on the inside of the door. He adds one and says, well, day 53 of the wreckage. Cut over to Corey and Topanga, and she says, you kiss my blimpo lips and tell them you're sorry. Corey says, well, I would, but my Brillo head might poke your eyes out. She strokes his face and says, I'm sorry. And he says, okay, now let's be mad at each other. She growls at him and walks into class. Corey follows. Feeny has seen all this, looks back at Sean, who hasn't, and goes, woo, woo. And that's the end of the scene.
This is a funny way to open this one.
It's fun.
I did appreciate the previously on Boy Meets World. Because yes. We haven't gotten a recap in a while.
I know.
And it's fun for them to show you everything. Like, yes, this is what happened over the last 6 or 7 episodes.
This is the whole arc. Was there a gap in time between this episode and Starry Night?
I think there might have been a couple of weeks, okay. Which also makes sense for them to say.
Yeah, why they would throw it in there.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember.
Yeah, but that was cool. I like that Cory and Topanga have seemingly worked out their differences. They're being cute. Mm-hmm. I do really like that Feeny just notices, one, them, but two, is aware that Sean also just doesn't know. There's something about it, like the way that he introduces that topic of like, does Sean know?
Like, I'm sure why he would was he? Thrilled when you told him.
Like, was he overhearing Sean elsewhere just talking about it with Angela or something? I don't know, but he's sad. It is also very funny to mirror, like, when Cory and Topanga broke up, that the entire school knew very quickly. Yes. And for them to just immediately know that they are together again. Yeah. Very good. Feeny, this entire scene, just great. And I really appreciate that they've made his character more comical than in the past.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
He's just having so much fun. And I was thinking about why, even potentially, like, obviously he's going to teach them lessons or be a part of it, but he doesn't have to be as instrumental in that because they're getting older too and can kind of make their own choices. And so I'm like, I really like that they kind of have Feeny grow with them, and also like, you can take a step back and you can also have fun. And yeah, that's just cool.
And he also like still helps where he's needed, right? Like, he's still there to teach them lessons as necessary, but we've seen a lot of times them finishing, like, figuring out the lesson without specific intervention from Feeny, quote unquote, the lesson without specific intervention from Feeny. And that's really fun too. So he gets to kind of just like sit back a little more and figure stuff out, or like just have fun.
He's literally like making fun of Cory for not even thinking about this. And that's not something that I would have expected from, you know, the younger days.
Right.
Because obviously he has to help them figure it out. But this entire time, in this entire episode, just setting this up, I was thinking, it's so great how their entire relationship arc hinged on honesty. And then when they're not on, like, the first minute after they get back together, and all of a sudden it's like, let's not be honest to Sean.
Let's tell another lie.
Let's do it again.
We've learned absolutely nothing.
I also, just quick note, think it's wild that they keep bringing up the Brillo head comment, because it's not, Ben Savage is not wearing a wig.
Yeah, so- it's Ben's real hair. So we're just making comments. There's a lot of weird, like, they do, Blimbo-lipped is a thing. Mm-hmm. And then they also do another reference to Lauren's lips later that I'm like, what are we doing? Why? These are their real faces and bodies.
Yeah, you could have done attributes of their characters about their character.
Right. Like, short little nasal, like, short, sure. But, like, little nasal voice, that's also kind of a thing that is character-based more than, like, person-based.
Yeah, Danielle doesn't talk like that all the time.
Right.
And she is in the character voice, but that is a thing that Ben Savage, for all intents and purposes, can't change.
His hair, no.
And so they're always making that Brillo head comment, and I never understand it every time.
Yeah.
But I would like to point out, I was kind of correct with 2 to 3 months.
You were. When you said 2 to 3 months, I was like, that's almost exactly right. It's 53 days.
I think it's funny that he tallied them.
Yeah, yeah.
And also just very sweet. Like, he cares so much about them being apart, because he's literally waiting until they're getting back together, assumingly, because he's literally counting the days.
Day 53.
And just as the final note, I did not appreciate the growl at the end.
You didn't appreciate it. Nope. What do you mean?
I just didn't like it.
Not a fan of the flirtatious growl?
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
I think it's just because it's one of those couples where you just see them from kids too. And I'm like,
yeah, that's
we're
fair.
Getting a weird territory, but it's going to keep happening.
Whole next scene is going to be a thing that you're not going to like.
Exactly.
Okay, so the next scene, we are in Feeny's class now. Angela walks in and says to Cory and Topanga, your plan is working. Sean still thinks you're apart. Topanga, who's turned around to Cory, says, I can't believe we were ever apart, my little love dumpling. Cory replies with plump sauce. Angela says, on the other hand, you both sicken me. Topanga says, I know this is wrong, but I'm actually starting to enjoy this deceitful little game. Cory replies, you are, really? She says, yeah. Yeah, I mean, don't you find it sexy, Cory? He's like, Cory and sexy in the same sentence. Wow. I do believe your resolve is weakening, my little kumquat. She goes, I want to kiss you so bad. He says, this sneaking around stuff seems to be agreeing with you. She says, only if I can be sneaky with you. They lean in and almost kiss before Feeny walks up and says, on the other hand, you sicken me too. They separate and Topanga turns around as he continues. And I have serious misgivings about being part of your little, Sean walks in then, and Feeny seeing him finishes, big horn. Where General Custer and his wife, Mrs. Custer, had a beach house. Oh, I'm way too involved. He walks away and that is the end of the scene.
I really love that Feeny's just a part of it.
Yeah, I'm way too involved.
Yeah, the funny thing was I thought to myself when all this was happening, great, they're back to being gross. And then Angela made the comment pretty much mirroring that too. And I was like, yes, I am on the same wavelength as Angela.
They're just so in love.
Yeah, and then I just wrote down, Topanga likes a bit of role play, okay? Sure.
We're learning. We're learning things about these teenagers?
Yeah. Why do I need to know that? Also, not even something that I knew about as a teenager. So right. It's wild that they did.
She loves sneaking around. I mean, they're not calling it role play specifically, but they are.
But we know.
They're having a time with it for sure. I mean, adults wrote them, so they knew what they were writing.
It's just like a Gossip Girl when they do stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, you are God. In high school.
You're literally 15. Something is wrong here.
But yeah, the one thing that I did think about, and in the next scene too, is the fact that Angela didn't even tell Sean how Topanga felt.
What do you mean? Oh, after at the end, she told Topanga, or she told Angela about it. And oh, I see.
Yeah, okay, so that's the idea that she just kept that, and knowing how into Sean, or into Corey and Topanga Sean is, and like very upset that they're not together.
That she wouldn't tell him.
I was like, that's wild.
That is a very good point. That I have never in my life once considered. And all the time I've watched the show.
This is me, never having watched the show, coming in with my analytical stuff. Like, why wouldn't she tell him?
Why would it? They're dating. They're in love.
And you'd think that Angela would also be excited about the fact that they're not going to be
couples
together. Again.
Yeah.
Not that she knew that like they were going to be a couple again, but just the fact that Topanga felt so strongly it was going to go tell Corey. Mm-hmm. It's just, tell Sean that.
That's wild. What a great point. Wow. I'm going to be thinking about that one for a while.
You're welcome.
Okay. Scene. We're back in the hallway. Sean is approaching Corey and Topanga, and when they see him, they start another fake, but this time more rehearsed argument. She starts, I can't believe how many good years I've wasted on you, Corey Matthews. He says, but Topanga, think of everything we've had, everything we've shared. She replies, sure, we've had some kicks, a few laughs. Maybe you should have thought about that before you spent time with that skinny-lipped ski bunny. He scoffs, she has a name. Sean says, I can't take this anymore. Corey turns, pretends to be surprised to see him. Sean, we need your help. Sean replies, but it's hopeless. And Corey goes, no, it's not hopeless. Sean's like, yes, it is. Corey, look at how callous and uncaring she is about you. They both look at Topanga, who turns and glares at them. Corey says, look again. They do, and get a shot of her face just like softening to be like sort of pouty. John says, nah, she's like ice. She starts to fake cry, and he goes to her, hey, what are these tears, Topanga? Are these the tears of hope? She says, maybe a little. John says, but I just saw him pleading with you to take him back, and you didn't. She scoffs, that was my heart talking, Sean. Corey and I are meant to be together. I just fear that there's too much damage done for us to put us back together ourselves. Some of this writing is crazy. Yeah. Like, I'm reading it back and I'm like, I can't say this. You are our last hope. We get a shot of Corey watching this like excitedly, and Sean goes, really? I am? But I'm sure all you have to do is say so and he'll come running. She's like, if only it were that easy. One of the things I love most about Corey is his fierce pride. Corey poses behind them and Sean's like, that's crazy. I've known Corey all my life. He has no pride at all. Watch this. He gets
so
up.
Funny. he has no pride.
None whatsoever. He gets up and goes over to Corey, who's now facing away from them. Hey, Corey, I think she'll take you back. Corey's been she can rot in hell. Sean turns back to Topanga. Wow, you know him better than I do. Topanga goes, say you'll help us. And Sean goes, perhaps you thought I've used up all my emotional strength over the last 53 days, but I have kept just a little right here, he pats his chest, in the pumper, for I always knew this day would come, and I am prepared for you, my beloved friends, to squeeze out the last drop of my emotional toothpaste. Topanga whispers to Corey, I'm telling him. She whispers back, he's making a speech, let him talk. Sean walks up to them, I will save you two. Oh, yes, I will. He walks away. He passes Feeny as he goes, who's been watching all of this. And Feeny says, what a jerk. And goes back into his classroom. Come back over and Topanga says, she can rot in hell. And Corey asks, it's too much. Says, no, you're actually pretty good at this. He says, thank you. You're actually pretty good at foot. But before he can finish, she throws him down on the couch, jumps on top of him and starts kissing him. And between kisses, he says, I was actually going to say field hockey, but you're pretty good at this too. And that's the end of the scene.
Well, not kissing. In the hallway.
It's wild.
She's like fully on top of him in the hallway.
I don't know. I liked it.
It's cute. But again, I had the thought if I saw people doing that in my high school, I would hate it so much.
Why do they have a couch in their hallway?
It's so like weird.
A full just lounge area in their hall. How much time are they spending in the hallway? Have we talked about this? The couch in the hallway makes no sense.
You don't have time in between classes.
Not that much time.
No.
To just sit in, unless all the classes are 2 feet away from each other. But then why are your passing periods so long that you have enough time to sit on a couch and hang out? What's going on here?
I don't understand anything about the Boy Meets World school or universe.
It never makes any sense.
It's just like how the drive up north was like 12 hours, even though it's only like three or whatever we all calculated. That's fun. I really enjoy the fact that Corey and Topanga, I like their joking argument at the beginning.
Yes.
And I think it's fun that they're playing this part. But I was noticing, too, they're just actually arguing about the things that are
really, you know, happened.
Why they split.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to be like, well, they are talking about it a little bit because we still like haven't seen them ever fight about it.
Mm-mm.
I like that Sean is still supportive of Corey. And then it's really funny to be like, you know, yeah, we don't even need, like, we don't need Topanga. And then as soon as Topanga gets sad, he's like, Topanga, what's up?
What are these, the tears of hope?
But yeah, I think this is another moment where we've seen them be fun. We've seen them be cute. We've seen them being serious. But I love when the characters, again, do get to play a little bit because everybody in this entire episode is just having fun.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's fun to even just watch them, even though the role play is strange to me, but you do you. It's fun to just watch them have fun doing that. And down to Ben even yelling like, she can rot in hell.
It's just very unexpected. A good line. It's so funny. I really like the way he says it.
I think it's, I really liked Sean's little speech. Like, he's really excited about the fact of like, I'm going to get them together.
Yeah, it's very interesting that Corey thinks that this is a thing that would be important to him. And whether or not it is, time will tell. But it is very interesting, like, the idea, and also Topanga sort of also was like encouraging it, but I don't know, I just like find it interesting that it's so important, it's seemingly so important to Corey that Sean is like the first person to know, and also he thinks it would be important to Sean, because in some ways, yes, I get like not wanting to be the last to know, but yeah. I think in a situation like this, it's also like, think about all of the context surrounding. Like, I think he would just be happy that it's happening.
I kind of get in Corey's way. It's like thinking back to all of the times over the past few episodes that Sean has tried to intervene and like help, and then it doesn't go well. And it's just like, yeah, he should finally be able to be the one to do this. Is very cute.
Yeah.
But it is strange, though, because it's like, just tell him. Just tell him you're together.
Just tell him the truth. Just tell him the truth. So many sitcom problems can be boiled down to just talk to each other, talk about it.
It's so funny how many episodes you'll be like, what's the lesson? I'm like, communicate.
Communicate, yeah, yeah. Okay, so the next scene, we are back at the apartment. The three boys that live there are all hanging out. Sean says to Jack, hey, let me ask you something about Corey and Topanga. Eric turns to the counter. Are they still estranged? The brothers look at him confused, and he says, oh, it was in my word a day calendar. Good thing you asked me today, too, because if you asked me tomorrow, I would have said, are they still, and he rips the page off his calendar, estranged? Hey. Sean continues, I think they both want to get back together. They just need me to give them a push in the right, you know. Eric says, estranged? And Jack says, yeah, estranged. Then to Sean, he's getting worse. Sean says, which is true.
Yeah.
Factually, he is getting worse. Sean says, I have been trying to help them all along, but nothing I do works. Their relationship is just more complicated than most. They're different. If I figured out why they're different, maybe I could help them. Jack says simply they're different because they love each other. Sean rebuts, then why did they break up? I don't know. I just need to help them. Eric says, no, you can't help them today. Today's a strange day, and so is tomorrow. You can't get them back together on a strange day. You gotta wait till the day after tomorrow. Jack asks, why? What word is that? And Eric says, that would be, and rips another day off his calendar, estranged. Hey, you know, this is the last time I buy anything from http://www.howdysucker.com. Jack says, all right, get in the shed. Eric pouts, I hate this. And that's the end of the scene.
Yeah, it's really fun of Jack to just point out that he is getting dumber as the time goes on. But yeah, I mean, it is funny, I will say. I was laughing actually out loud at the scene, which sometimes doesn't happen. Like, bits will be funny, but it's like when I watch shows with people, I find that they're funnier And, you know, sometimes I'll just do the thing that Bo Burnham points it out of just like that the laugh with your nose.
Exhale out of your nose. Yeah.
Like that'll happen a lot. But this one, it's very funny for it to be like the next day, estranged. he literally just got scammed. Just very funny.
It's so much. The idea that somebody would print a word a day calendar that only has the word estranged on it for every day. And also, what day is it that he's only just noticing? Because it's not the first of the year.
Yes.
So.
Oh, he's so dumb. There's one moment. I appreciate that Sean is also asking for their opinion on this, I will say. But it pulled me out of it is there's a shot of Sean and Jack on the couch, and then the calendar is like still in it on the side. Just the framing of the shot just didn't work out.
Oh,
but
no.
That moment I was like, oh yeah, it's a TV show. I am watching that. I like seeing the three guys hang out too.
Yeah, it's cute.
We don't get it all the time.
Especially specifically Eric and Sean. Like
yeah.
There's, because Sean is so much younger than them, like having a little bit of interaction between them, which we know like now they weren't allowed to be in scenes together,
yeah.
Because they would make each other break, is really fun. I love any moments we get with the two of them.
Yeah. That was fun to hear about when they were actually talking about
yeah.
it. Like, yeah, we could not keep it together.
It's just so cute.
It's like they're best friends.
Okay, so the next scene, we are in the Matthews kitchen. Sean is sitting on the counter while Corey and Topanga are at the table, and Corey starts, okay, Sean, how are you going to save our doomed relationship? Topanga says, it's not doomed, it's just hopeless. And Sean goes, good for both of you. Admitting there's a problem is always the first step in recovery. Corey asks, okay, so what do we do? Sean says, well, the first thing we all have to realize is that this is going to take time. Corey says, time is it. Topanga adds, and it might not even happen soon. Corey then says, but you know, we could wake up tomorrow. Topanga finishes and be back together. And Corey says, thanks, buddy. Topanga, let's just see what happens tomorrow. They start to get up, but Sean blocks Topanga and says, okay, so we all know that this is going to take an enormous amount of time because, well, he kissed another girl and then he went on a date with her. Corey's like, yes, thank you, Sean. Sean adds, and she was catting around with that good-looking art guy. Topanga goes, yeah, okay, sort of cutting him off. And Sean continues, and when I was thinking about this on the way over, I realized, yeah, it's possible that they may not belong together. I mean, the heartless cruelty you inflicted on each other. Who does that to each other? We get a shot of them reacting to this as he goes on. No, there just may be too much damage done. Fortunately, I know you better than you know yourselves. And I know that deep down in your souls, you love each other. Corey's like, you sure? Sean confirms it. Topanga says, that's good. So we're done? And tries to leave again. Sean sits her back down and says, no, we're just getting started. Corey, if there was one thing that you could change about Topanga, what would that be? Corey stutters, I wouldn't change a thing. Sean says, work with me here. Be brutally honest. Name one thing that you would change. Don't think, feel. Corey starts, but I'm not sure. And Topanga whispers, humor him. Corey says, but I wouldn't change anything about you. Topanga says, come on, Corey. We've been broken up for 53 days. I'm sure you can find a teensy bit of anger and resentment somewhere in you if you dig real deep and think about all the pain I've caused you lately. Sean asks, is there, Corey? Is there some anger that the two of you still need to work out? Corey relents, well, you know, I never knew you could be so cold and unforgiving. Topanga is shook by this statement. She looks at him, mouth agape. Sean asks her, and how do you feel about that? And she goes, terrible. And Corey starts to whisper to her, Topanga, I was only just, but Sean cuts him off. No more secrets. Corey starts again, but I was only, and Sean yells, no more hostility. Now, what about you, Topanga? Topanga says, I can't believe what an insensitive jerk you are. And Corey goes, are you serious? Sean asks how he feels about that. And he says, not good. Topanga's like, why would you say I was cold and unforgiving? He shoots back, I don't know. It seemed like the right thing for an insensitive jerk to say. Sean interrupts, good. Okay, see, we've got a dialogue going now. We are on the road to reconciliation, right, guys? Are we on that road? Maybe an access road? Are we even in the car? Topanga stands, you're right. I'm cold and unforgiving, so I have no idea how I thought that we could have gotten back together. She leaves the kitchen, slamming the door behind her, and Corey stands and yells, she really left. Sean says, I told you this was going to be tough. Corey just looks at him, and he's like, what? And that's the end of the scene.
Oh, just rehashing their past.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think when they got to the line where Topanga was like, there may be too much damage done, I was like, Sean, it's backfiring. All of your plans are backfiring. But the entire time I thought, if they were just honest with him, this wouldn't happen.
This wouldn't have happened.
The flip side of it is that they're actually getting to talk through their feelings, so it is kind of helping them.
Yeah.
Almost like Sean is being a couples therapist in a way.
A little bit.
He doesn't need to be. He shouldn't
right.
be.
Right, and also is not qualified to be.
Yeah. It is nice that they're actually getting to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, who knows if it'll work. I think
the face it just made is so funny. I wish you recorded video so people could see that specific face you just made. It's very funny. Oh man.
I think it's very funny the line that Sean had of like what I didn't write down the first two, but when he gets to the point where he's like, "We even in the car?" It's just very funny. It's yeah. good on writers.
Yeah, they're both just like sitting there looking very upset. And he's like, Are we on the road? Are we even in the car?
It's just a line that I have not heard before, and I appreciate when that happens in any show. When it's yeah, like, that yeah. is funny what you just wrote. I like that. And yeah, the end of it, when Topanga leaves, I was thinking, don't look at Sean like it's his fault, Corey. He gave him such this terrible look. And it's like, you're the one who didn't tell your best friend the truth, and yeah. now it's coming back to bite you. And how would he know?
And that's called backfiring.
It's great.
Oops.
Corey's dumb. He's actually the sweet little idiot.
In this instance, yeah. I feel like Corey also gets dumber as the show progresses.
Come He's to a think man. Of it.
Yeah. Next scene, we are in the Matthews' backyard. Corey flies out the back door looking for Topanga, and Sean follows saying, well, maybe we're just going to have to accept the fact that you and Topanga aren't going to get back together. Corey yells, you big stupid idiot. Sean says, that's great. Let it out. Corey says, you don't understand. We were back together. We just wanted to make you feel like you had something to do with it. Sean's like, what? You mean you didn't need my help, really? Corey says, you'll forgive me if I don't feel bad for you right now. Sean's like, well, what kind of stupid thing was for you to care whether or not I put you back together or not? What are you, Humpty Dumpty? Corey's like, no, Sean, you do not understand. We told Feeny first. You would have been very, very upset. Sean's like, wait a minute. You told Feeny before you told me. Corey says, yes. And Sean yells, who cares? The main thing is that you're back together. Corey yells, but we're not now. You just broke us up again. Sean says, you're just telling me that so I can put you back together again. I don't like your sick games, Corey the Mindbender. He goes and sits on the like deck bench seat. And Corey sits down next to him and says, you know, we really should have taken more classes our senior year. We have entirely way too much time on our hands. And that's the end of the scene.
That's a good way to end this yeah. weird one.
It's like lightly self-aware in a way that is very amusing. It's very funny.
Yeah, again, just don't be yelling at Sean. It's mean to him because he didn't tell him yelling. Anything.
It's crazy.
It's very fun for Sean to just get him back and say, like, what are you, Humpty Dumpty? Like,
yeah, that's such a good line.
I don't need that.
Why do you care?
I kept thinking he doesn't get to tell Sean how he feels about everything mm-hmm. because that's just Sean can feel how he wants. And I really love that he's just like, it doesn't matter. It yeah. would have like it would have mattered of just the fact of you that telling the truth together. And being yeah. back together. But like, it doesn't matter who knows and what order it came in. I just liked him being honest with Corey about that. Because I'm like, yeah, you dummy. But the Humpty Dumpty line is so good.
It's so good. It's so like, that's just like incredible writing. It's so funny. What kind of stupid thing was it for you to care whether or not I put you back together or not? It's so good.
I like when Sean gets to be the smart one in a situation.
Yeah, sick burn. Clever burn. Well-written, clever burn.
When he thinks, he's so good.
Yeah, honestly, Sean isn't dumb. Sean just has ADHD. That's really what it put. Like, let's be real.
ADHD and a troubled past.
Yeah, Sean has trauma and ADHD, and that is his whole problem. And if he had a good therapist and some Adderall, he'd be fine.
The path to success.
I mean knowing where Sean ends up mm-hmm. in Girl Meets World from my sure. perspective, because Sid doesn't know, I do think that he gets both a good therapist and Adderall.
Look at him,
he's Gross. Like doing okay. It's kind of cute. I'm excited for you to watch it, man. I'm actually so excited for Girl Meets World.
I am excited about it, but it is funny now because it's like this. It's just older now.
Yes.
And knowing especially like Sabrina Carpenter on her own, that's just not where Girl Meets World is going to be very different.
Yeah. Her character is maybe not always the best written, but still like one of my favorite like sitcom characters ever. I love her. I'm so excited.
I've also just seen some clips on TikTok, and sometimes the writing, I'm like, what is going on?
It's weird though, because a lot of the writers are from the original show.
But it's like adapting to the current or like modern times as opposed to Boy Meets World. And so
also, I'm pretty sure Boy Meets World is going on, or Girl Meets World is going on 10 years old.
Are you serious? Oh yeah, because I was in college when my friend was watching it.
Yeah. I'm going to look this up really quickly. Wild. Yeah. Premiered June 27th, 2014. So the 10-year anniversary is this summer.
Wow.
Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, we talk about this show being old at 30. That one's already 10.
10 is crazy, though, thinking about it. I mean, it ran for 3 years. That is sore sad. I'm excited to talk about it. It's going to be great. Back at the apartment, the trio, Eric and Jack, are all gathered in the living room. And Sean says, I've gathered you all together today to ask one question. By a show of hands, how many of us are sick of the Cory Topanga issue? Everyone except Eric raises their hand. Sean notes this and asks why he's not raising his hand. And he says, because I'm the extension. Jack says, you mean exception? Was today's word exception? Eric says, no, today's word was pertinent. But I didn't think that was having anything to do with the situation. Jack says, all right, by a show of hands, how many people are dying of Eric? Everyone raises their hand, including Eric this time, and he stands and says, cool, it's ubiquitous, and goes into the kitchen. Topanga says, look, Sean, it was really nice of you to stage this little intervention for us, but I really think Cory and I can handle our relationship or non-relationship or whatever it was or is or might be. Sean says, I don't think so, Topanga. You've had your chance. I'm taking your relationship out of your hands. I don't think you even understand your relationship. Jack says, they love each other. Sean replies, then why did they break up? Cory goes, I don't even know what she's upset about. Topanga says, you called me cold and unforgiving. You used to think I was pretty perfect. Cory rebuts, you called me an insensitive jerk. You used to think I was the most considerate guy in the world. She says, maybe we've just known each other for too long. Maybe we don't really belong together anymore. Sean cuts in, or maybe there's just some residual anger keeping you apart. Eric, holding a sandwich now, says, residual, to leave over. Like if your mom makes a pot roast and you don't finish it, what you have left over is a residual pot roast. Pot roast, residual. Jack shakes his head and says to Cory, you don't know what it's like to live here, man. You don't. And Cory asks, then why do you stay? Jack says, because he's my friend. He gets up and walks over to Eric, because I like him. And no matter what crazy things he says or does, I still like him. God help me, I still like him. Eric threw a mouthful of sandwiches. Oh, hey, come here, man. And gives him a hug. And that's the end of the scene. It's so cute.
Jack and Eric.
Best friends.
Best friends. I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, another moment where Angela, I'm like, why isn't she there?
Right. I was thinking that too.
Because every time that it's been like a group thing, especially, yeah. I'm like, why isn't she there? She would have a say.
For sure. It's a weird choice.
Yeah, I don't have much with this scene. The only thing that I did think was very funny was Eric performing like a spelling bee at the end with the word residual. There's so many times I'm like, you're so dumb. I want more for him, but like them making him also the comic moments relief, yeah. in this, it's just very funny. But I still want him to be a better character.
I know. It's so, I think about like season 3-4 Eric.
Yeah.
And he was like, in the sort of middling, like, I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. And there was a lot of, like, really depth-filled episodes for him in that period of time. And, like, 5, 6, 7, he just gets dumber and dumber and dumber. And, like, occasionally we'll get a little bit of depth from him, but it's all, like, idiot savant depth. Like, he's just kind of, like, mostly stupid. And then sometimes he'll say something that, like, actually helps people. And
And I didn't understand it. Like, I know it kept coming up as like he's gonna get dumber, like that's and we got like trickle down a little bit, but I was thinking back again a couple seasons ago when he was potentially gonna become a stepfather, like that's not the same Eric you're seeing here. And that's insane. And I think it's just kind of the flip side, like he was the teenager that was going through everything and you kind of got to see that, but now that the kids are teens, now it's like, and now we don't need Eric's story anymore because
perspective,
because the teen's done, we have teens again now,
yeah
and it's a bummer.
It's weird too because we have Jack also, and we very rarely see them actually doing college stuff. Like occasionally we do, obviously we had not last week but 2 episodes ago was Eric Hollywood, and that was like a little bit of their college stuff, but mostly just like Eric filler. But it's so weird to not get to see as much of how they are actually interacting both in college and with each other. We just get like clips and glimpses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this could be like, I want a whole show of just Jack and Eric because I think it would be really fun to watch too. Okay. So the next scene, we are at Chubbies. Sorry, I was like afraid that I wasn't starting the right seat, so I had to double check. We are at Chubbies. Corey and Topanga are studying near each other, but at separate tables. Angela and Sean are in a nearby booth, and Angela says, look at them. They're like a million miles apart. Sean says cryptically, I don't think so. I don't think we ever understood how close they actually are. Angela's like, what? Which is an appropriate response to that insane like statement. Then we see Amy and Alan walk in with Amy telling Corey he's needed at home for when Morgan gets back from her art lesson. She greets Topanga as Corey asks, why? You got a big emergency? Alan says, your mother needs me to go shopping with her for bath towels. Suddenly, she can't buy them without me. Amy says, Alan, I am perfectly capable of picking out towels by myself. I just want to make sure I don't pick out something too pink or too fluffy this time. Alan shrugs, buy whatever you want. Just don't punish me over towels, okay? Amy says, maybe the punishment is because you forgot my mother's birthday. He's like, I didn't forget. I made a choice. She says, that is the most insensitive thing I've ever heard. Topanga says, runs in the family. Corey just blows a raspberry at her and his parents continue. Alan looking at his watch yells, fine, let's just get this over with so I can get back for the game. Amy shoots back, oh, the precious Phillies. I'm sure this game will make a difference between, what, fourth or fifth place? He gasps, what? What did you just say? And she yells, I said they stink. You want to watch baseball? Move to Baltimore. He just repeats, what did you just say? She ignores this and says, give me the keys. I'm driving. It's 5 o'clock. You're a lunatic at rush hour. Corey stands out and tries to de-escalate. Mom, come on. When you said lunatic, Alan cuts him off. It's not the traffic that makes me crazy, dear. Oh, look out. Turn right here, please. Oh, you're too close. Yield. The yield makes me laugh so hard. And if I'm such a bad driver, why did you marry me? Corey again, Dad, when you say, why did you marry me? But Amy cuts him off with, I wouldn't if I had listened to my mother. And Corey again, Mom, Dad, please, can we just... But Alan says, you know, I am glad that I forgot your mother's birthday. And when June 14th rolls around, I might forget someone else's too. He turns away from Amy, but she just starts laughing at him as he turns back around. Oh, so you think it's funny if I forget your birthday, huh? And she pushes him playfully. That's your birthday. And Alan's like, what? And she says, and I know just what I'm going to get you, you big lug. And he says, what? What are you going to get me? Come on, give me a hint. And they're kind of like flirting now. And she says, I'm not going to tell you that it won't be a surprise. And he's like, oh, I know. You're going to give me bath towels, right? And Corey and Topanga are watching this like reconciliation. And Amy says, well, maybe I'll tell you in the car. And Alan wraps his arms around Amy and says, okay, you want to drive? And she says, no, you can drive. But don't listen to the game on the radio because I want to talk to you. And they start leaving Chubbies and he asks, about what? And she says, about whatever you want. And Corey's like, all right, wait a minute. Come on. Well, what just happened here? Topanga says, you two just said horrible things to each other and then got all lovey-dovey. Corey says to her, hey, I was going to say that. How come you say that when I was going to say that? She yells back, who cares who says it as long as it gets said? Corey softens, then what are we arguing about? Topanga says, we sound like them and points to the parents. And Corey agrees, oh no, we do. Why do we sound like you? Sean joins them, because you love each other. No matter what crazy things he says or does, you still love each other. Corey and Topanga look back at each other for a beat and then Corey asks, then why do we break up? And Sean says, because we're in high school and you think you're supposed to. I have qualms with that, but we'll get to it. He walks away and Amy finishes, but when two people are really in love, it doesn't matter that there are disagreements sometimes. It comes with the territory. Alan adds, and when two people are really in love, they don't just break up because they have a fight. Love would be pretty dull if you agreed on everything. Amy says, besides, and they never get to make up. She cuddles into Alan and kisses him and they leave together. Corey says to Topanga, when two people are in love, they don't just break up because they fight. She smiles, want to make up now? And they kiss. We see Shangela watching this from their booth. And Angela says, now that was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Sean says, thank you. And she goes, what, like you had anything to do with it? He just smiles at her and she says, Sean? But Corey and Topanga walk up to their booth and Topanga says, Sean, Corey and I are back together now and we wanted you to be the first one to know. Sean says to Angela, hey, Corey and Topanga are back together. Angela says, they are? And Corey says, yeah. And listen, Sean, I'm sorry we ever put any pressure on you to get us back together. Even though you're my best friend, no one could ever do that. Sean says, I guess friendship only goes so far. Corey and Topanga smile at each other. And then in the Shangela shot, we see him give a thumbs up. He looks over to the stairs and Amy and Alan give him a thumbs up back and then leave for real. Angela, who also saw this, gives him a kiss on the cheek. And we get another shot of cute Corpanga. And that is the end of the episode proper.
It's a good little scene.
Yeah.
I appreciated the fact that Sean actually did help them figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just fun to see, like, obviously, he didn't need to be involved in that at all. Like, they could have made their own choice. But it's fun to then flip it around and be like, you guys are going to be together.
Yeah.
For him to get Alan and Amy, again, who are a very stable couple in relationship. Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very good on him. I loved it.
I love this staged argument, first of all, because... Yes. It is Very fun. It's, first of all, it's like deeply problematic for Corey to be like, I have to de-escalate this argument in Chubbies right now because I don't know what else to do. But it is so funny that they have this whole thing, and the whole thing that like breaks it is that Alan forgets his own birthday.
Yeah.
And then she's like, that's so funny. I love this man so much. Like, he's so stupid. I love him. And I think that's adorable. And also the like moment of the one line that Jack says of like, because no matter what crazy things he says or does, I still like him. And that's the thing that clicks for Sean to be like, oh, they just love each other.
Yeah. I also had the line written down, just going back to the beginning, the line written down where he's like, understand how close they actually are. Angela wasn't there. She doesn't even know what you're referring about. Which is crazy, because then it's like he knows and he's kind of like, like, yeah, they gotta figure it out. And she's like, what? It's so good. And then, yeah, I appreciated too all of the things that Amy and Alan pointed out in their stage little argument.
Yeah.
Are also real things that people all fight and disagree about. Like, yeah, that is just so normal. Mm-hmm. It was just very funny because I was thinking at first, I was like, I can't tell if this is staged or not. And then I'm like, there's no way. Every time that we've ever seen Alan and Amy actually fighting or like disagreeing on something, it's very serious. And this is like very, again, minimal things where it's just like, you gotta go pick out the towels. I'm gonna complain about the little things that you make when driving, which like over time can add up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, as a whole, you can all get over it. We can talk through it, figure it out. You said you had qualms with the line about the high school. What was your problem with it?
Because the question of like, then why did we break up? Because you're in high school and you think you're supposed to, that's not why they broke up. They broke up because Corey had feelings for another girl, which is like a completely valid reason to have broken up.
Like in last episode when they just kept rewriting stuff. And I'm like, did we all forget? You just gave us the whole recap at the beginning. Yeah.
You gave us a recap of the actual situation of like, literally the line of like, I like Lauren, I like spending time with her, but I can't live without Topanga.
Yes.
That's the reason you broke up, is because you liked another girl and you were conflicted about what that meant for your and Topanga's relationship. And so that it'd be like, you guys only broke up because you thought you were supposed to. Like, that's not what happened. There was real conflict behind their actual breakup. And it's great that they got back together now. And like, to be like, I don't know, there's just like a different thing that they could have said to be like, then why did we break up? It could have just been because you love each other and you had conflict and you didn't know how to handle it. Like, that doesn't flow as well as like, you're in high school. You think you're supposed to. But it just doesn't, it's not real. Like, I don't know. That bothered me a lot because it's just, it like we talked about last week, it's just degrading all of the actual conflict they had that was really interesting conflict and like very worth going through in their relationship, and then to be like, you just broke up because you thought you were supposed to. No, that's not why.
We had reason.
There was more. There was real.
We had plot.
Exactly.
We even, the whole episode where all of that was taking place, we didn't even have like a B story. So you knew that it was important because we had to show all of it,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I like, again, I covered the end of the scene at the beginning. So I like that he actually was the one that did help them figure it out after all.
Yeah.
Because it's cute.
I think as a whole, the scene is really cute. And I also like the moments that both couple like get shots of at the end. I think it's just cute to see them being couples. Yeah, it's fun. So overall, I like I very much love the scene. And I think even Amy and Alan, like, being a part of it is a cute moment. Because there's just that sweet, like, at the very beginning, Amy's just like, hi, Topanga, and, like, pats her on the back, you know. And Topanga's like, hi. And, like, they care, too. Yeah. Like, they're also involved in their relationship and, like, want them to, like, be happy. And I just think that's lovely. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. End credits.
I'm now just still thinking about how the writers at certain points just decide, we're not going to follow the story. They do it for most of it, and then it's like, no.
And it's the end.
That we're one just, little deviation.
It's fine. It's been like months. Who cares? Whatever.
No one will remember it.
They won't remember. It's fine.
Even though we just showed him it at the beginning of the episode.
I know.
No one's going to know.
It's a weird choice, but I love.
All the rest of it, I love.
And it's fine. It's good to critique art.
Yeah. Don't come for us. We're having fun.
Don't come for us. We like it still. It's fine. Okay, end credits. We are in Feeny's backyard. Jack and Eric walk up and Feeny is gardening. And when he greets them, Eric says, salutations, my didactic friend. Feeny says, excuse me? And Jack's like, hi. He said hi. Feeny goes, I know what he said. Does he know what he said? Eric laughs, oh, Mr. Feeny, I appreciate your sardonic jocularity. This scene is going to be a nightmare for me who can't say normal words right now. Jack says it's his word a day calendar. It took him some time, but he's finally got it down. Vinny goes, oh, well, Eric, I salute you. A good vocabulary is an important asset in life. Eric replies, well, thank you, Mr. Feeney. I'm certain my erudite loquaciousness will be most advantageous, particularly as regards to intellectual discourse.
He did it.
This is not the worst. Feeney says, I can see where this is going to get old quick. Jack whispers, can ya? Snap him out of it. Feeney starts, so, Eric, have you perused the tastefully lascivious Sports Illustrated in swimsuit issue? Eric yells, tushy for sale, cool, and runs away. Jack smiles and they both watch him go, and then he says, you're a good teacher, Mr. Feeney. Feeney says, ah, well, when you live next door to a house full of psychos. That's the end of the up and full.
What a weird little B story that Eric has.
Yeah, can we even call that a B story? Because it was sort of tied into the A story.
It's just existing.
Yeah, it's just here.
Eric's using too many big fancy words. It did make me think from earlier when you said the calendar and what days. So there's some days that it just says estranged in a row, and then it does switch to other words,
I mean,
which
I
is
guess.
A crazy calendar.
Or he got a new word of day calendar.
That would be also plausible.
It's unclear. We don't know.
They didn't give me enough backstory with what happened with the calendar.
Certainly not.
But I did really like when he did come up and say it. And Feeney's like, I know what he said. Did he know what he said?
Feeney said, I'm an English teacher. I got it. Does he know?
I do words good.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's the end of the episode. What was the lesson, Sid?
So they kind of said it just verbatim in the last scene.
Yeah.
But disagreements and some arguments are a part of any type of relationship, whether mm-hmm. it's romantic or friendship or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're not always a make or break situation. And if you do truly love them, there's always a way to work it out. And that being said, if you do get to a point when it is bad, it's okay to break it. But yeah. In this instance, it's just like arguments are going to happen and disagreements right. are going to happen, and it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I have nothing to add. You're correct.
Thank you.
We did it.
We did it.
Hello. Welcome to the end of the podcast. You did it, listener.
I figured that you were going to go with listener, but the pause, I was like, I know I did it.
I was going to say audience, here. But that's presumptuous. So I went with listener specifically.
Yeah, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, YouTube, and potentially TikTok at the Lost Years Pod. Yeah, we'll let you know when episodes drop and
do our best.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can also email us at thelashiespod@gmail.com. We'll read your email on the show. Tell us what you're nostalgic for. Tell us your favorite color.
Oh.
Yeah. And you could also I think Sid mentioned this in the mid-roll last week.
Yep.
But the voice memo thing yep. is going away soon. So if you do want to send us a voice memo.
Did you like how I did that research real quick before one of the mid-rolls, and I was like, it's gonna be gone in June.
Unfortunate for us, but Now's the time. Get it in, and we'll throw your voicemail in the show here somewhere. You can also rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Spotify, Google Pods. I think that might also not exist anymore. And subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Do we know what's going on with any podcast?
The only reason I knew about the Google podcasting is because one of my we have a podcast at work, and mm-hmm. that podcast was like maybe getting moved or something. Like the Google podcast going away was a weird thing because that is where we hosted our podcast, the whole thing. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Dramatic. But I digress. Do all of that, subscribe and all the things wherever you get podcasts. It helps people find the show and helps us out. It's nice to do. It'll help me speak better because I apparently can't, even though talking is part of this. Regularly.
Oh my god.
I'm so sorry. I need to stop. I'm like actually scared. Am I okay?
Everything's fine. We're
I'm
almost
slowly
done.
Having a stroke or something. I don't know. I'm doing my best. I'm so sleepy. It's probably that. It's probably I'm really sleepy.
Probably. Well, thank you to the Scavengers Network for having us on the network. You can check out other cool shows there, like Timeline Scavengers and Myth Takes on www.scavengersnetwork.com.
tayscrow.com. If you want to find me on the internet, I'm at tayscrow everywhere, and also at Tay's Live Tweets. I'll probably stop being on Twitter at some point, but I'm still there right now. So if you want to check it, check it. That's where I am. And I'm on Twitch, twitch.tv/itstaycrow, kind of in theory. I finally finished my taxes.
Nice.
So my plan is to take my computer to Micro Center and just be like, fix it, and then give them however much money it costs for them to do that.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, wish me luck. And then hopefully whenever that comes through, I can stream again, because truthfully, I miss it. I play so much Fortnite and I would love to be streaming it, because some of the things that I do on Fortnite is really cool and fun.
Yeah.
And there's no video evidence of it because I don't stream anymore. And that's sad for me, a person who likes things. You know what? I had the thought in my head. I'm going to make this one short because I'm doing a bad job at talking. And then I talked for so long.
Well, you want me to
I'm done now. I'm done.
If you'd like to follow me on social, I'm everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, also Twitch at Sudsley. And yeah, I have fun on the internet while I'm still allowed.
Real. Real. While I'm still allowed is crazy. Oh, man. Okay. I gotta go.
Yeah. I don't know what we need to do, but we don't need to be doing the podcast anymore.
I need to go lay horizontal and not talk for 3 hours, I guess.
Yeah, go watch Fantasy High.
I'm gonna go watch Fantasy High. Okay.
Great.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good one. That's how we end the podcast. What am I doing?
Just have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye forever, I guess. No. Until next time.
Your day.
Your day.
Just like it's always been.
What else do you need to know?
Has it always been this way? Goodbye,
fam. I don't know what I know. I don't know anything at all.
Hey, goodbye, fam.
Bye, fam.
The Scavengers Network.
Creator-driven, community-focused, treasured content.
Scene 2. Flashback. Setting February 2nd.
Hey, Colin, I was just thinking about making a podcast where we go scene by scene through the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
James, I love that. That is a great idea. I'll tell you what, see if you can flesh it out just a little bit more, and then we'll get back together again soon and talk about it again.
Scene 4. Flashback, setting February 20th.
Man, I can't stop thinking about that idea of James's. It was so interesting. I wonder if we could do it in some sort of, like, chronological order.
Scene 1, present day, setting March 2nd.
Colin, I was thinking about that Marvel podcast idea I had last month.
Oh, yes, that idea. Oh, I love it so much. I remember it like yesterday.
Scene 3. Present day, minutes later.
God, we were so young back then. And turns out I've been thinking about that podcast too.
Really? What were you thinking?
All right, let me paint you a picture. It was a couple of days after President's Day.
Scene 5, present day, minutes after that.
Chronological, huh? That's a pretty good idea. So, like, if there's a flashback, we put it in the place on the timeline that's being flashed back to?
Yeah. What do you think?
I think absolutely. Let's do it. Why don't we call it Timeline Scavengers?
Scene 6. The future.
How are we not done yet?
That's my secret, Colin. We'll never be done.
Timeline Scavengers. Assembling the MCU timeline forever.